Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it was just this past weekend that, this previous weekend, in our society, labor was celebrated. And perhaps it could be argued, I think it could be, that in celebrating labor, that celebration waned a bit. I think in the times in which that I've been living, I have a hard time recalling a time where I've heard more people saying that there has been a need for labor that has been found elusive in many quarters. There's not enough people to work. Not that there's not enough people, but that there's not enough people to work or willing to. To be industrious or to be productive is something that even in our general society over the course of time has viewed as somewhat virtuous. But that's waned some, to be sure. Laziness or half-heartedness in our work has not been that which is to be viewed as that for which we are proud. And yet we see a tendency towards that that can be very frustrating as days go by, what we used to call work days. Loyalty to one's position, loyalty to one's company in the proper sense, being somewhere on time, and not needing 15 different perks in order to carry out your calling. There's just more of that going on these days. There should be a satisfaction in doing a job and doing it well. It's obvious not only in our society, but there's always that temptation among us all to want to avoid the work because of its toil. There can be certain things about the work we do that can be very challenging. And there is a temptation to just avoid the challenge and therefore avoid the work. We may not feel like doing what we're called to do because it keeps us from doing what we want to do, which may be nothing at all. But it seems too hard sometimes, too time-consuming, takes too much discipline, requires too much regularity in keeping up with the responsibilities. But yet, when we have found ourselves at times having completed the tasks that we've been called to do, we can feel ashamed. When we consider our earlier temptations to shirk our duties or to shrink from the task at hand because it was good to see the finished product. It was good to see the finished task and to know that what we had accomplished, which is what we were called to do or we were asked to do or what was needed to be done, was able to be accomplished. And that shouldn't surprise us that we would have that sense of accomplishment or satisfaction because we were placed on this earth for that very purpose, to be productive, to be fruitful, to be used, as it were, in God's vineyard for His purposes and for His glory. Far from being designed as a mere liability by our very existence that some would wish us to be viewed as, we are meant to be productive in God's world. And while many are busy in the world still, true fruitfulness stems from a true faith in Jesus Christ, wrought in us by God's Spirit through the hearing of His holy word. That's the confession of the Church of Jesus Christ, who has freed His people, not just from the penalty of sin, but also its power over our lives, to be truly fruitful people that God has called us to be in Jesus Christ. And so we want to consider this morning, or this evening, I should say, our confession of living fruitfully out of a true faith in Jesus Christ. And as confession helps us here, we want to think about the root of that fruit and the purpose of that fruit and the limits of that fruit. So we first of all want to consider the root of that fruit. Now, There are indeed various ways to speak about the root of fruitful living. We can speak of it as that which occurs ultimately by the Spirit of Christ. Unless we're born again, after all, we cannot see the kingdom of God unless the Spirit of Christ is at work in us to revive us from the deadness of our sin and trespass. There is no life within us, and therefore no fruitfulness without. Without the life within, there's no fruitfulness without. We can also speak about the fact that unless we are in Jesus Christ, the true vine, as his branches, we will not bear the fruit to which we're called. Because Jesus himself would say that apart from him, in John 15, we can do nothing. But when we're in him, we can bear fruit, and fruit that will last. Which when you hear that, you recognize that there's something substantial about what we're doing when we're in Christ. There's something meaningful about it. There's not something fleeting, but something that will be established. But another way that we can speak of the root of faith or the root of fruit in the Christian life is to speak of it as that which stems from true faith. And we hear that in our passage tonight. That what matters only is work, is faith working through love. It's not intended here to say that faith is the cause of being born again, because we know from Scripture that being born again is what is done to us and not what we do for ourselves. And that being born again precedes faith. But the Christian confession declares that his living faith, justifying faith, wrought in man by the hearing of the Word of God and the operation of the Holy Spirit, that that's the stem planted by the Spirit from which fruitfulness, fruitful living proceeds. And it's in that sense that we hear the Apostle Paul that say that such a faith works through love. And Paul says that's the only thing that matters. The kind of faith that's true and alive, that first of all focuses on God's grace in Jesus Christ as the whole source of one's justification, but is also then the faith that is divinely given and therefore holy and living and empowering and liberating those who have received it to live in a fruitful way, in the way that God has called us to live, in the way that God intended us to live, and the reason, the very fact that we're human beings, this is what we are called to be. And such fruitfulness is the reason God put us on this earth in the first place. James would say that if you have any other faith than a faith that works through love, your faith isn't true, it's not holy, it's not living, it's dead. Now, in this world, of course, there are various kinds of faith. There's mere intellectual faith that knows facts. But those facts don't touch hearts. James would say that even the demons believe in God and shudder. But that, of course, is not the true faith that trusts and knows within one's heart as well as one's mind the overflowing mercy and grace of God in Jesus Christ. There are those who also have a faith that's devoid of knowledge. Or the proper knowledge. It could be a knowledge that you have that's true but doesn't touch the heart. But you could also have the phony knowledge or the insufficient knowledge. It's not a faith in the Scriptures proclaimed, but a faith that either runs on pure emotion or erroneous information. It may even speak of itself as being in the Spirit. But there's no definition to that. There's no substance to that. It's a faith where the Spirit and the Word are in conflict rather than in harmony with each other. Either way, and there are other ways, we find false faith enslaving. We find it here, that this is one of the things that Paul had to combat. False faith can be enslaving, either because the focus of the faith is not in Christ as Savior and God's saving grace, as you seek to find your salvation like the Judaizers did in trying to keep the law, or you have a faith that's about facts, maybe about Christ, but not in Christ. Either way, you're left enslaved to the penalty of sin, and you're enslaved to the power of sin, totally unable to be fruitful in light of God's grace. Both those ways leaves us fruitless and unable to be what the Lord's called us to be. The apostle was concerned about freedom and its proper use and understanding. He was concerned that people would either abuse their freedom by believing they could live as they pleased and showing that they were still living under the power of sin, or by believing that they could justify themselves versus Christ, leaving them under the penalty of sin. And he had to hit both of these things while he was addressing the Galatians, right? Those who thought they could just live like they wanted, and those who thought that they could be saved by what they did. True freedom and therefore fruitful living stems from a faith rooted by the Spirit through the use of the Scriptures, filled with the gospel message that by grace we have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. It's faith that's filled with God's Holy Spirit given life in Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, and the life. And that kind of freedom and fruitfulness is rooted in the knowledge of the fullness of God's love for us in Christ. If we don't believe that, then Christ and his saving and transforming work and blessing is of no advantage to us. But that's the faith that works through love. It's a living faith that can appreciate what Jesus Christ has done for a person. Living faith appreciates, values, cherishes what only Jesus Christ could do for that individual person. It's a faith that respects what God has done. It is such a faith because it's a faith that was given by the Spirit of God, who gives life, so that not only is there a faith that trusts in Christ alone for our justification, for our salvation, but it's a faith that also empowers our life unto sanctification, unto grateful living, unto fruitful living. See, when we hear that nothing matters except a faith that works in love, it reminds us then how important it is to know Christ, isn't it? Because even after I, again, built probably a pretty sizable front porch to this sermon, nevertheless, even with the, you know, people who aren't working, or people don't want to work, or people are not interested in the labors, we still live in a busy world. And people can be busy with all sorts of things. But just because you're busy doesn't necessarily make you fruitful. Not in the biblical sense of the term. It's like we heard a little bit this morning. Jesus came so that we might have life to the full. Not just so that we'd be busy, but that we would be fruitful. Because all kinds of people who aren't Christians are busy, but they're not fruitful. What Jesus came to do, and when we appreciate what he came to do, he came to set us free from the penalty of sin, but he also came to set us free to be fruitful in his kingdom in a way that we could only do through him. Because only through Jesus Christ can we be saved, but only through Jesus Christ can we be fruitful. And not just busy. we don't know either that freedom from the penalty of sin or the fruitfulness that comes because we've been released from the power of sin unless we know Jesus Christ in true faith. You know, that's what makes living for the Lord in the ways to which we've been called a very unique situation. You might find yourself busy, but it's a different busyness than the busyness of the world, because there's fruitfulness involved. People have all kinds of busy days. People live rat race days, consuming days. They could be running from pillar to post. They can be doing whatever they're doing 24/7. And you ask them how they are, well, just living such a busy life. And they can talk about all the irons they have in the fire and all the fingers they have and all the pies in which they stick their fingers. But are they fruitful? Because if it's not out of Christian faith, it doesn't count. What counts is a faith, and what only counts is a faith that works through love. What counts is, first of all, a faith that knows the salvation of Christ alone, a faith that is then the root of the fruitful life to which we're called to live in Jesus Christ. So maybe you are busy, 24/7, fingers in all kinds of pies. But if you're in Christ, you're fruitful. And that's what we're supposed to appreciate. Certainly the marvels of what only Christ could do for us unto justification. But then the privilege that's been given to us when we're Christians. To get up in the morning and accomplish all the different things that the Lord has called us to do. It's not just busy work. It's fruitful work. It becomes that through your Christian faith. That's the faith to which we're called. It's not an empty faith. It's living. It's full. It's rooted in the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ by God's Spirit. And the purpose of the fruit is also a worthwhile point. The purpose is love. Love for Christ, love for others, and particularly those in the household of faith. Our confession says that the purpose or the motivation for our good works is not out of self-love or fear of damnation. But that's not fruitfulness either. Good works done out of self-love aren't truly good works. That's just self-absorption all over again. If we're motivated by self-love, we show ourselves to be haters of God. If we're motivated by fear of condemnation, we believe ourselves to be still hated by God. And we're seeking the solution in ourselves. And that's putting trust in ourselves. And that's self-love all over again. Which is a hatred for God all over again. And we're trapped in those kind of motivations. We're enslaved in those things. That's what Paul's concerned about. Some might say that much that's done by unbelievers and believers looks the same when it comes to the end result. But why are they done? Why are they produced? How much of it's done for God's sake or Christ's sake or for grace's sake, and how much of it's done for self-love? See, what's the motivation? Is it really done in fruitfulness? What really counts is faith working that works through love. There's many busy people out there. Many, we might say, are productive. But why? What are we doing? And why? Is it for the right purposes? Are we being productive and yet unfruitful? Are we being lazy and therefore unfruitful? Well, we've got a light to shine that way to our world, don't we? That wants to just work the system and not be so much concerned about what it is that they can be doing for the Lord. Are we doing what we're doing because we're afraid that we'll be condemned if we don't? Or are we doing what we're doing because we know that in Jesus Christ there is no longer any condemnation? It makes a big difference in life as to what lies behind our motivations and purposes. It makes a difference between being busy and being fruitful. Doing good works that God prepared in advance for us to do as those created in Christ Jesus. The apostle was concerned that people were either seeking to be fruitful for faith instead of fruitful in faith. Fruitful to be saved rather than fruitful as saved. Fruitful to be saved knows no love. Because one has not yet been saved from a power of sin, so one can be fruitful. He was also concerned about a licentious life that stemmed from self-love, where one lived not to be godly, but to be godless. And that's not the purpose of fruitful living. That's not God's purpose for living. That's not living. That's certainly not fruitful. The purpose of living is to love as those loved by God, love for his own, love for his neighbor, all the more, all the time. And far from making us complacent, as confession would tell us too, God's grace proclaimed to us and received through faith moves us to a greater and not a lesser striving, all the more, all the time, in every way possible, to the glory of God, because that's the power of God at work in us. That's the God that is strong to save, but also in light of that salvation, strong to move us in service to him. And if we're thinking about what it is that ought to be motivating us in life, it's easy. I'm tempted to do it myself, to be sure. Always looking for carrots out there to kind of move you ahead and make you carry on, looking forward to things and whatever it is. But nothing ought to motivate us more in our life than to meditate on the marvels that God has done for us and is doing for us and is promising for us in Jesus Christ. We've talked about that this morning in our catechism lesson. We were taking a moment to meditate on the marvels of what God has done and who he is. And just like the writers of the scriptures, when you do that, and you do that in faith, you not only marvel at what the Lord has done, it moves you to say, glory be to God, let me show it in all the ways to which the Lord has called me to do that. There are limits to our fruit, of course. They're not meritorious, we confess. They earn us nothing. They don't earn us our justification. To believe that is to live in slavery and not the freedom of Christ. And even if they could, if God would remember just one of our sins, it would be sufficient to condemn us forever. And while they're good works, they're not perfect works. because we're not perfect people. However, that doesn't mean that the Spirit of God at work in us doesn't sanctify what we do. So they can be used in God's service. But while alive to Christ, while justified by His blood, we still confess our polluted condition until Christ's return. We're on this side of glory. And those limits keep us from thinking that we're able to save ourselves or at least provide even a portion of our justification. And those limits keep us humble. They keep us from boasting in ourselves. And if we can be kept from boasting in ourselves, well, that's going to make all the difference in how we're going to view the worship of God and the way that we treat other people around us. In Christ, we do what we do because that's what God created us to do and recreated us to do in Christ. And we do it out of gratitude. If God in His grace wishes to reward those sort of things, it's only by His grace that He does it. Such rewards are reserved only for those who have been, first of all, saved by Christ. He does so because He so chooses, not because He has to do that. And it's tempting to think that our good works are, you know, unimportant to God on the one hand, and it's tempting to make too much of what God expects from us. We have to remember both the freedom the Lord has given us to live for Him and that our living for Him is always out of His grace, from first to last. So as we consider our labors in this world, whether it's when Labor Day rolls around or any time, let's remember that those who truly have a reason for celebrating are those who know that they have been called to be fruitful in the only way we truly can. As those who have known through faith that Jesus Christ has saved us from both the penalty of our sin and also the power of our sin. And so when we stop and read Galatians 5 and meditate on what we confess about sanctification, it calls us, keep striving in our labors. They're not empty when they're in the Lord. They're not in vain when they're done for the right reasons. And they're not in vain when we do them, not to be saved, but because we realize the marvelous salvation that we've received through faith in Jesus Christ, who calls us to a true faith that celebrates God's work in us by working in love. Amen. Let's